live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on Memorial Day, this 25th day of May 2020. Yes, I did not take the day off for Memorial Day. I wanted to make sure I took advantage of the free time on my guest schedule because he has certainly become one of my favorite guests, and not only my favorite guest, but one of my favorite preachers of all time. His name is Jeff Thomas, who, beginning in 1965, served for over 50 years as pastor of Alfred Place Baptist Church of Aberystwyth, Wales. And today we are going to be addressing the Epistle of James, chapter 5, 14 through 16. And then tomorrow he'll be joining us again, God willing, Tuesday, May 26th. And our theme tomorrow, to test my memory here, because he just told me right before we went on the air, the relevance of the prophet Nahum in the 21st century. Was I right on that?
Quite exactly right.
Great. Well, it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Jeff Thomas.
Thank you. Oh, it's a delight to be here. It's an anticipation and a sense of responsibility and prayerful, looking to the Lord to help me to say things that are helpful to the people and convicting and true. And there we are. The Lord has helped me every time I've been on the program in the past.
You always do an excellent job. And as we always do, because there may be many people hearing you for the very first time who didn't hear your other interviews, or have not heard you on sermon audio or at Banner of Truth conferences. But tell us about Alfred Place Baptist Church, where you retired as pastor for over 50 years, but it is now being pastored by your grandson.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's the 150th anniversary of the building, and I'm giving a lecture on that in November, on a Monday night, and they're having a weekend of celebrations for 150 years, and they seem united and encouraged, even though we can't meet there on a Sunday, like all the churches in Wales are like that, in Britain at the present time, and we are sitting in our chairs and speaking into a screen and zooming out to individuals who've got the Zoom to pick it up. They're very strange days, and that's happening in Aberystwyth. And the students, of course, the university is closed down. There are no examinations. Everyone has been sent home. So one of my grandsons, he's going to be graduating in a month or two, and he has to wait till next year for the graduation exercises for the commencement. And then he's going back to work for the InterVarsity group. He's going to give himself a year evangelizing on the campus of the university amongst the 10,000 students that live there. And so there we are. The work of the gospel goes on. How little we know about the kingdom of God, Chris. And there we are. I've just opened a little window on you, or a small town on the Irish Sea, and a church there that seeks to serve the Lord in times of plague.
Now, do you have any idea from those in government when you'll be permitted to gather for corporate public worship again?
No, we don't.
Wow.
Schools are opening next week now, and parents are nervous, and some parents say, no, we're not going to send our children back, and then others are keen, and there's no real scientific expert that can speak with absolute authority on this theme, that it's all right or it's not all right. And they're not united among themselves. So we plod on, won't we, and look to the Lord. That's the position of most people today.
Well, I want to make sure that our listeners have the website so they can investigate Alfred Place Baptist Church, so that in the event that they live near there, we do have listeners in Wales, or they are vacationing there, or they have family, friends, and loved ones there. It's alfredplacechurch.org.uk. alfredplacechurch.org.uk. And even though you are a Welshman, you've been spending recently most of your time in London, England, am I right?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I'm going to give our listeners our email address. If you'd like to join us with a question of your own on the Epistle of James, specifically chapter 5, 14 through 16, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and as always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA, and please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. I'm going to read this segment, or this portion of the Epistle of James, and then we'll have you let us know what you want to highlight from that and exegete from that and bless us with. We begin in 14 of chapter 5. Is any among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another, and pray for one another, so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. And if you can proceed from here, where you wanted to highlight from this very well-known and precious
they're fascinating words, Chris, aren't they? And they're saying, first of all, there's an appropriate response to every condition of the Christian. Is anyone in trouble? You should pray. Anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Anyone sick? Call for the elders of the church. No one should be stuck in a rut. God never hems us into a situation in which every alternative before us is a wrong and a sinful alternative. There is always a way out, a way that pleases God, a way that honors him. It might be a way with self-sacrifice and pain, but there's a way that glorifies God. And nobody in the congregation should be complaining that, well, we got nothing to do, and now we can't even go to church any longer, the buildings are closed, and so on. No, there's always a right response. And James selects these three scenarios, the Christian in trouble. And that happens. It always does happen. Hardships, persecutions, nakedness, famine, the sword, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are considered a sheep for the slaughter. You know, that was at a time of enormous blessing and great growth, and there were trials at that time. And anyone who says they don't have trials, I remember a man, he was called up to serve in the army, and when he returned home, his friends in church said, well, was it difficult to be a Christian in the army? No, no, not at all, he said. It wasn't, they said. No, I didn't tell them I was a Christian, he said. He was a secret disciple, wasn't he? But the problem with that is that it can't last. Either secrecy is going to kill the discipleship, or the discipleship is going to kill the secrecy. Because there are going to be troubles of many kind, and then you pray. It's so obvious, but it's so essential. It's under. If there was anyone you would think who didn't need to pray, it was Jesus of Nazareth. I mean, he had power over demons, power over creation, the winds and waves, he had power over disease, power over death. And you'd think, well, all he'll do is say a word, or will it. It only takes a touch of the will that can, and the dead are raised. That's what we believe. But he got up early in the morning, and he went, and he prayed, and he taught his disciples to pray. And they pray in times of trouble. The psalmists, Psalm 129, they greatly oppress me from my youth. Psalm 140, rescue me, O Lord, from evil men. Protect me from men of violence. 141, O Lord, I call to you, come quickly to me. Is anyone in trouble? He should pray. And then, the very reverse. The happy Christian, is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. It was a wonderful Scottish Christian called Lachlan Mackenzie in a great revival in the Scottish Highlands, and he made much of the joys of the Christian life. And the title of his life and his works is The Happy Man. And he was a living testimony that religion can make a person happy. And this is what he'd say. Happy is the life of that man who believes firmly, prays fervently, walks patiently, works abundantly, lives holy, dies daily to sin, watches his heart, guides his senses, redeems his time, loves the Lord Jesus Christ, and longs for glory. That's a picture of a happy man. And what should a happy man, a happy Christian do? He should sing. I remember a scene I'll never forget. It was a Monday morning in Philadelphia at Westminster Seminary. I was walking along an empty corridor, and who turned round the bend and came towards me but one of the greatest theologians in the world, John Murray. John Murray was magnificent. He was very intelligent, and he was a saint. And he stopped, and he saw me, and he smiled, and he said, how are you, Mr. Thomas? How are your mother and father now, back in Wales? Oh, you're a Welshman, aren't you? And you love to sing? Do you know, he said to me, we learned a new psalm tune yesterday in church. And he sang it to me. Isn't that incredible? With his old croaky voice, he sang with a benign smile on his face. He sang a new tune that he'd learned to one of the old psalms. Oh my, is any happy? Then let him sing. He was a happy man. You know what we are told? He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God, Psalm 40. And when the Ethiopian was converted and was baptized, Luke could have said many things about him. He went on his way repenting. Yes, he went on his way believing. He went on his way witnessing. say any of those things, you know what he said. He went on his way rejoicing. And the apostle says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say to you, rejoice. And if we feel that we don't have anything to rejoice in, we can always rejoice in where we are not. We are not under judgment. We're not being condemned. And it's lovely when friends of mine, they sent their children to a Christian school, and this Christian school was great. And it taught the old hymns. And she said she would be cooking and cleaning, and her little boy would be on his bicycle. And what was he singing? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning my song shall rise to thee. He taught it in school and he loved it, and he sang it. If anyone is happy, let him sing. We are told, let him sing. And then he says there's this proper response for sick Christians. Is any of you sick? Call for the elders of the church to pray with him. Anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer offered in faith make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, then he will be forgiven. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and so on. It's a fascinating statement, and you know, that's the heart of the dispute. And the questions that people ask, we have a certain kind of illness, and we want fellowship. We don't want a pity party to be sulking there. We call for our friends to come in, and they gather with us, and they pray with our wives and our children, and they assure us of a congregation that's concerned for us at that time. And that is generally the picture that we have here. Roman Catholics have got extreme unction, but you know, my Catholic friends, that oil actually prepares people for death, not recovery. This is an anointing which is then optional, which is up for you. You take the initiative. They don't say, we are coming in. You call them. You say, I need you. I don't like this isolation in my sick bed, and I love to know of your affection for me and your concern for me. And the oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. I don't think it refers here to medicine. I think it is a symbol, like the bread is a symbol of the broken body, and the wine is a symbol of the shed blood, and the waters of baptism are the symbol of being washed and cleansed, and the oil there, I would think it means then the Holy Spirit coming upon us at a time of special need in our lives with healing. I think that is the basis of that, and that's in our church. I think there were three times in the 50 years that we anointed someone with oil. There was a woman, missionary, and she was in Bethlehem, a midwife, and she was there 30, 40 years, and then she had bowel cancer, and she said, will you come and anoint me with oil and pray? She was home on furlough, and of course we did. There could be no harm done by doing that. and it was something that she'd thought about for a while, and we did it, and wonderfully, she went back for another 10 years. She lived until she was 80. So, but there was another case then, and it was with Stuart Olliott's brother, who was a deacon with me, Stephen, and Stephen had a very bad cancer. And we went and we prayed, and then it was just another month, and Stephen passed away. So it is all under the will of God, isn't it? There is no text in Scripture that God promises, if you are ill, I will heal you. There's no text. There's a text that all things will work together for our good, and there's a text that God will supply all our needs, and there's a text that says that he'll never leave us nor forsake us, and there's a text that says he will raise us up in the last day, and he will give us a new body, a glorified body. Lots of those texts, but there isn't a text that he says we'll always infallibly be healed of every illness. And people who try to say that are real mischief makers, because then they say, you didn't have enough faith, that's why. It was your fault. And they compound the pain and the grief that you and the family are having by saying, and you brought it upon yourself because you didn't have great faith. And I despise that teaching. And I do believe that there'll come a time when there'll be an illness and God won't heal me, because my span has come to an end. The appointment has come that he has told me about. It's appointed unto man once to die. And that's going to come to me, and I will say, even so, Father, for so it seems good in thy sight.
Now, I think you very rightly warned against those extreme Pentecostals who say that you will certainly be healed if your faith is adequate, which is a heresy. But at the same time, don't you think that we who are Reformed, because of the fact that we never want those who witness us being ambassadors for Christ, and perhaps in a worship service or perhaps evangelizing out in the community, we never want to be associated with them. And sometimes I think we go overboard to distance ourselves from the supernatural, from healing, from things like that. Now, I realize there are no faith healers today, but I believe God certainly heals. And I think one of the things that's evident in the fact that we who are Reformed are, I think, going overboard in our distancing ourselves from Charismatics and Pentecostals is that I think that this practice here that's outlined in the Epistle of James is very rarely practiced by Reformed people.
Yeah, I do believe that. I do believe that. But if you look at Scripture, you think of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying that the cup will pass from him. Did he have faith? Well, the Spirit came upon him without measure. He had illimitable faith, and he's trusting in God. And he's praying, is it possible? Can I be spared this pain? That's one great proof text, isn't it, that these people who say, it's because of your lack of faith. Or you think of David again, 2 Samuel 12:16, he's praying for the life of his own child with all his heart and all his might. And yet the baby dies. Or you think of the Apostle Paul praying for the removal of the thorn in his flesh, some painful, humiliating irritant. He could describe all the mighty benefits that would come to him if only God would remove that thorn, how much more useful, how much happier he would be. Paul describes the thorn in that passage: weaknesses, infirmities, hardships, persecutions, difficulties. That's what they were. And the only answer then, after he's prayed earnestly in the Spirit, with the power of trust, absolutely submitting himself to God, was, "For my grace is sufficient for thee. You will do all I want you to do in your life by the grace that I will give you with the thorn. I'm not going to take that thorn away."
Well, we have to go to our first station break right now. If anybody would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Jeff Thomas after these messages from our sponsors. We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's leesdrugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well." He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
This is Andrew Rappaport with Striving for Eternity Ministries. Are you cooped up at home? Are you just desiring to use your time wisely? Well, Justin Peters and I got together and realized that our calendars were cleared because of COVID-19. So we decided we would get together and do our Snatch Them from the Flames seminar, home edition. That's right, a free seminar, May 30th, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. We're going to give you a free seminar that you can take at home. We're going to cover the topics of the sufficiency of Scripture, interpreting Scripture, discerning false teachers, identifying false teachers, and then a Q&A. Get all the details at strivingforeternity.org, and there you can go to the online events to register before May 30th, and we'll see you there online in your home.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
The coronavirus pandemic has rapidly changed our way of life, bringing so many uncertainties. When will it end? Why do disasters like this happen? How do we deal with anxiety, fear, and the like? Well, join us each Friday on the program Iron Sharpens Iron with your host, Chris Arnzen, and Pastor Joe Jackowitz as they explore God's Word for answers to this and other of life's related issues. Tune in at firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio.org. Each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. That's Iron Sharpens Iron on firstloveradio.org. Fridays, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. To hear what the Bible has to say about pandemics and how we should respond.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Zion radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Justin Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order. Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, if you just tuned us in. Our guest today is Jeff Thomas, not only today, but tomorrow, the 26th of May as well. But today we are addressing James chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. And this is in regard to those among us who are sick, calling upon the elders for the anointing of oil. And if you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And please, as always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. Only remain anonymous if the question involves a personal and private matter. Let's see here. We do have a listener in Eastern Suffolk County, Ronald, Eastern Suffolk County, Long Island, New York. Ronald says, how do you answer the fact that this text in James seems to be a promise that healing will occur, and yet, as you said earlier, we all know that it is God's will that determines whether one is healed or not physically, and therefore, there seems to be some confusion attached to this.
Mm-hmm. There we are. We are reading about what is happening in the New Testament when there were apostles about who had miraculous gifts of healing. We are reading about it at a time when there were not only miracles of deliverance, but miracles of judgment. So you had Ananias and Sapphira, and they are viewed with suspicion. They hear that the money they said they received from selling the land was actually far more than what they declared. And so they are asked, they are tried in the company of the church and the apostles. They are asked about their sin. And they lie again. And a miracle of judgment comes, and they die. The apostle is saying here, if you sin, confess your sin, and you will be healed. You won't die. The church in Corinth there were people in that church who were misbehaving. There were people who were sick amongst them, and some slept, some had died because they were abusing the Lord's Supper. They were coming carelessly, godlessly, and again, there were miracles of judgment taking place. Now, the great exhortation here is for us to go with a repentant spirit, to go in our sickness, to go always to God and acknowledge that God is justified in all he does, and that God is right when he judges, and God is powerful and merciful when he heals. So I link then these verses at the end of James 5. I link them to a time that we don't see today. We haven't got apostles that we can summon to come. And in Miletus, in Malta, all the sick in Malta are healed by the Apostle Paul. We don't have someone we can bring from Brazil or China or America to Britain who can perform at 7:30 tomorrow night and can heal all the sick. Those were special apostolic gifts, but we had better be sure that we are in our sickness carrying a spirit of repentance, that if it's cirrhosis of the liver, if it's a sexually transmitted disease, we know we've abused our bodies and judgment has come upon us before that, and we've got to confess and we've got to end those sins if we are going to be healed. And so there is that sort of strain in the background of the link between our sinning and the judgments of God and the deliverance of God when we have a spirit of repentance. I think those are factors that we have to bring into consideration in answering your fascinating question.
Well, thank you, Ronald. And if you could now, Jeff, move on to the other highlights from this text that you wanted to share with us today.
Yes. James says, the Lord will raise him up. He says that. Who's healing the man? Is it elders? It is great. No, it is the Lord. Where two or three are gathered together, they've come in and they are there. And if he sinned, it will be forgiven. If he says, in other words, there was no infallible knowledge, the sick man thought of all his past sins and wondered whether this sickness was the Lord disciplining him. And so he sent for the elders, and they talk with him, and they wanted to know. And he says, well, I've not been perfect, but I don't defy God. I'm anxious to please God in all I say. And my hopes for eternal life are not mine, but in the Savior, who will one day raise me up. That's my hope. And so they've heard him, they are satisfied with his spiritual condition, and they pray and they anoint him with oil, and he has the assurance that his sin is truly forgiven. The only way that the Christian can consider past sins are that they are forgiven sins. And it's the devil that will give us a diving kit that will send us into the deepest sea to look for the sins that he has cast there. He won't do that. Our sins have been removed from us, and he will remember them no more. And so that is the situation in which a Christian lives. But if a Christian is constantly defying God, and is then living in such a way that then through obesity and immorality and excess and drunkenness, disease will come into his life, he's got to repent of that. He must do that. So James then applies this to us, and he is saying, keep short accounts with God. If you're sinning, don't go on sinning. Much of this sinning then has brought God's judgment or sickness upon some of you. So he's exhorting them to confess their sin to their neighbors. And, Chris, we are really very poor in this whole area of confessing our sins, aren't we? Moody's life now. Moody was a very holy man. When his sons were boys and they were living in Northfield in Massachusetts, Moody was anxious to have a lawn like the ones he'd come across when he'd visited and preached in England. And one day his boys, Paul and Will, let the horses loose from the barn, and the horses went up and down and trampled all over the grass and ruined this cherished lawn. And he was so annoyed, and he lost his temper with them for what they had done. And then, he regretted it. And he did what James tells us to do here. That night as they lay in bed, they heard his footsteps coming up the stairs, and he knelt alongside them as they lay in bed, and he put one hand on each head, and he said to them, please, boys, I want you to forgive me. That wasn't the way Christ taught us. And there was another, when he was teaching a class at the Moody College, and some of the students interrupted him, and he was irritated, and he snapped at a young man. At the end, he paused, and he said, friends, I want to confess before you all that I made a great mistake at the beginning of this lecture. I answered my young brother down here so foolishly. I ask God to forgive me. I ask him, please forgive me, Lord. And he went to the young man and took him by the hand. And that's what James is telling us here to do. That our spiritual condition, our health of mind, of affections, is dependent on us having a forgiving spirit. The Lord said, when you pray, you say, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And we must be forgiving men and women, and we must be men and women who confess our sins. Healing comes in repentance for defying sins. A praying church is a healthy church. So you're in trouble, pray. The elders come to pray over you. Believing prayer saves the sick. Pray for each other. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It's all about the importance at times of need, at times of sickness, in that we are prayerful, confessing men and women.
Well, we have another listener with a question for you. BB in
yes,
Cumberland
sir.
County, Pennsylvania. BB says, when the scriptures teach us that if we are truly repentant and cry out to the Lord for forgiveness, that he will not remember our sins. Some people speak as if Jesus actually has amnesia and really doesn't remember us making or committing those sins. But isn't it just that he will not hold those sins against us rather than that he forgets them?
It is that, yes, they do not determine his relationship with us tonight. He is loving and merciful and pitiful towards us, and he doesn't say, well, I've stopped behaving like that because because of your behavior, because of what you've done. He doesn't hold our sin against us. That sin of ours, week by week, year by year, doesn't determine then our relationship with him. We are his sons. It determines the closeness of our fellowship, doesn't it? It determines when we begin to pray these things that we've done, they come to our minds almost immediately, and we have to say, I'm sorry, Lord, I'm such an inconsistent Christian, please forgive me. And so the closeness of fellowship is marred by our sin, but the relationship, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, and we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is, and everyone that has this hope in him purifies himself as he is pure. Though the great exhortations of John about our relationship with God, our hope in God. So, yes, you're quite right. We have to just not plead the amnesia of God, but plead the promise that he's not going to use our guilt and our falls and our mistakes to change his promises of comprehensive mercy, and that we still have illimitable access to an indwelling Holy Spirit. And we grieve over grieving him and plead for, again, a renewal of hope and joy in serving him.
Amen. And I want you to pick up where we left off there, because I have a clarifying question of my own. But we have to go to our midway break right now. This is the longer than normal break in the middle of our show that we have to extend, if you will, because of the fact that Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, while we air our globally heard commercials, they air their own public service announcements and their own things, their own announcements that localize this show to Lake City, Florida, which is an FCC requirement. So, if you could, use this time wisely and write down all of the information, or at least a lot of the information, provided by as many of our advertisers as possible, so that you can more frequently patronize them, and therefore, subsequently, God willing, they will remain our advertisers because they're pleased with the results, and they therefore are helping us to remain on the air for a longer future. Just always keep that in mind, is that we depend upon our advertisers to exist. The finances that come through our advertisers is something that is crucial. We do not, even though we've been getting some very generous donations from you who have very benevolent hearts and have been very generous with us, and we thank God for you, the number of donations that come in could never cover what we need to have in regard to finances, so we need our advertisers. So please write down that information provided by the advertisers. And also, we ask of you to write down questions for Jeff Thomas and send them to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Jeff Thomas after these messages from our sponsors.
J. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I have been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawsuit, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
The coronavirus pandemic has rapidly changed our way of life, bringing so many uncertainties. When will it end? Why do disasters like this happen? How do we deal with anxiety, fear, and the like? Well, join us each Friday on the program Iron Sharpens Iron with your host, Chris Arnzen, and Pastor Joe Jackowitz as they explore God's Word for answers to this and other of life's related issues. Tune in at firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio.org. Each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, That's Iron Sharpens Iron on firstloveradio.org. Fridays, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, to hear what the Bible has to say about pandemics and how we should respond.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Baptism and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And remember, folks, every time you purchase books from solid-ground-books.com, you are helping Iron Sharpens Iron Radio remain on the air, because they are a crucial, a key, a primary sponsor of this broadcast. We would likely not exist as a radio program without the financial support through the advertising that is placed on this program from solid-ground-books.com. So, please, you've got a lot of events coming up that are perfect for gift giving, like Father's Day, like graduation day, like back-to-school gifts, like birthdays, wedding anniversaries, bereavement gifts. Whatever the occasion may be, or no occasion at all, just to tell somebody that you love them and you care about them. Why not go to solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com, and get your friends and loved ones the finest in Christian literature from the past and present. And also, keep in mind, don't only use solid-ground-books.com for your Christian friends and loved ones. Remember, the lost might be led to in eternity with Christ through the gospel that is contained within the pages of many of the books at solid-ground-books.com. So use this wonderful ministry to draw your lost loved ones to the Savior. And just always keep in mind that I want you to mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's solid-ground-books.com. Before we return to our guest, Jeff Thomas, we just have a couple of important announcements to make. This Thursday and Friday, the 28th and 29th of May, we finally, have scheduled, and I'm so thrilled about this, the debate, the two-day debate between Sam Frost and Don Preston on full preterism. Full preterism is the teaching that Jesus Christ returned once and for all in AD 70 to destroy the temple in Jerusalem, and therefore he is not returning in the future. He's not returning physically and bodily in our future. They also teach that the dead will not be raised in our future. So Don Preston is one of the most well-known advocates of this eschatological ideology, and Sam Frost, his opponent, is a former full preterist who actually was a colleague of Don Preston, and Don Preston even published at least one book by Sam Frost. So this is going to be an exciting debate. This Thursday and Friday, we're going to be dealing on each night with one of the different major aspects of full preterism. On the first night, the first day, the physical resurrection of the dead is not still in our future. Don Preston affirms, Sam Frost denies. And then on day number two, Friday, the second coming of Christ is still in our future. Sam Frost affirms and Don Preston denies. So keep that marked on your calendar this Thursday and Friday, May 28th and 29th. The full preterist debate between Don Preston and Sam Frost. And I hope you spread the word to your family, friends, and loved ones, especially if they have been exposed to this subject, and perhaps they have even been brought to a state of confusion and depression and all kinds of things. But anyway, just mark your calendars for this Thursday and Friday, and we look forward to hearing from you with your questions if we have time to ask them. Also, folks, if you love this show and you don't want it to disappear, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card by doing that. You can also send in a check via snail mail to the address that appears on the screen when you click support at Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. Just make checks payable to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. And I would ask you, please do not siphon money away from your regular giving to your local church that you're accustomed to in order to give to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio, and never put your family in financial jeopardy in order to give to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. Those two things are commands of God, providing for your church and your family. Providing for this radio show is obviously not a command of God, but if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, you have extra money that you've been saving because you're not going to concerts or movies or theatrical performances or sporting events or Bible conferences. There's so many things that you haven't gone to because of the quarantine that's been going on due to the pandemic and hysteria involving COVID-19. So please use some of that money, if you have it, to bless us and enable us to remain on the air. That is, of course, as I said, if you love the show and you don't want it to disappear. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, folks, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church and you're having a hard time finding one, I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the planet Earth, and I've already helped many people in our audience find churches all over the world that they have either joined or that they have visited on vacation, or that they have referred to their own family and friends and loved ones who are unaware of a church near them. So please, I'm urging you, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. There's a few of you who are still waiting for me to get back to you with those church recommendations. Please forgive me for my tardiness. There's been a lot going on behind the scenes here that has occupied my time, so I plan on getting that information to you this week sometime, perhaps even tonight or tomorrow. Thank you for your patience. So once again, if you need a church recommendation, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line, And that's also the email address where you can ask a question to our guest, Jeff Thomas. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And, Jeff,
yes.
As we were saying before the break, there are texts in Scripture such as Hebrews chapter 8:12, which reads, "For I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." That is not saying that Jesus has amnesia, but he will not bring against us the evidence of our sins to condemn us if we are indeed crying out to him in repentance and faith. And one of the things I was going to say is that I find it so much more precious and beautiful and meaningful and something that gives me reason for even more praise and adoration and thanksgiving and gratefulness to Jesus, is that Jesus knows full well each and every one of my sins and yet still chooses to forgive me. Would you say I'm right on that?
Absolutely. It's just an extravagance of grace, isn't it? It's like the old man seeing this boy coming back and hesitating, and he starts to run, old legs running, running up to him in case the boy will change his mind. And then he hugs him and he weeps over him, and he says, "I'm never going to let you go again." And bring the fatted calf, put the slippers on his feet, "Let's rejoice. My son was dead and he's alive again." That's the response of grace in all its extravagance towards us. When we go as sinners to him and say, "Here I am, Lord, again. Let you down again, Lord." Oh. And his arms of love would embrace the whole world, and they wrap themselves around me every time I go to him.
We have a listener in Perry County, Pennsylvania, Arnie, who asked, "What is your favorite commentary on the book of James?"
Right. Well, oh, I'm being cheeky here for a moment. I'm going to say that the 2024 sermons, the whole text of them is printed out on my website. And so you can see the sermons that were preached some years ago, and I combed what was I found that was most helpful at that time, and I brought them together, the best from a number. Manton has got this commentary, Puritan commentary on James, which is very, very rich.
It's Thomas Manton.
I don't think there is one that is outstanding. What helped me was in the introduction to James, in the introduction to the New Testament of J. Gresham Machen, and he says, if you want to understand the letter of James, then think of it as another version of the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount, then, it presents to us the essential nature of regeneration, if we're going to live like this, of a free justification. If we're going to live in this way, we've got to know forgiveness, and we've got to know the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And what Jesus preaches, then his half-brother writes in this letter, the life of godliness. And it's its own best commentary, but the classic one is Thomas Manton.
Great. And I don't know for certain. I know that Solid Ground Christian Books used to have commentaries, or at the very least, books by Thomas Manton. But if you go to solid-ground-books.com, you might be able to find out if they specifically have the commentary in the book of James and other books.
Yeah, good.
Well, why don't you continue moving through why this is such an important text in Scripture for us?
There's a measure of confusion, Chris, concerning this prayer of faith. And the claim is often made now that it is a prayer of assurance, of strong conviction that this is going to happen. And when this comes to you, then you know that the sick is going to be healed and so on. Now, I happen to believe that from my own experience, there is such an assurance given to us sometimes when we pray. It's only happened once to me. It's my dear cousin. He is professor of Welsh in Aberystwyth. He was. He passed away last year. And he is one of the leading poets of our principality. And in 1968, the international cultural organizations got together, and they had a poetry Olympics in Mexico City the same weeks as the Olympic Games. And my cousin was the representative of Wales at the Poetry Olympics. So he went. He wasn't well on the plane. He'd never flown so far, and they had to take him to the hotel. He's very ill. The receptions of the hotel was, by the providence of God, then a nurse who had worked on a heart ward and knew all about it and knew what to do for him, helped him. His wife then, she didn't have a passport. She was back in Aberystwyth, half a mile from where I lived. She was desperately worried. And I went home and I was on my knees and I was praying. And as I prayed, I had an overwhelming assurance that he wasn't going to die. I got into the car and I drove straight back to Betty and I said, "Betty, it's going to be all right. I've had this wonderful sense of assurance that he's going to live." And I was able to speak warmly and earnestly to her because of this strange experience, a prayer of assurance that was given to me at that time. It only happened. It's only happened that once. I don't give it a title. I've called it a prayer of assurance, but assurance characterized it. I think it's one of the perks, the benefits, the wonderful blessings that come, that our relationship with our Heavenly Father is a wonderfully living relationship. Sometimes a light surprises the Christian while he sings, and the words of this hymn just suit the state of our hearts and minds, and we're overwhelmed with affection and love and doxology to God. We see things in the words that we'd never seen before. Assurance comes to us in that way. And so that does happen. And people say then, well, that's what James is referring to here when he talks about the prayer of faith that saves the sick. But he's talking about trust, isn't he? He's saying, you've got to keep trusting. When the virus comes into your home, when people you love so much are very ill, you keep trusting in Heavenly Father. he will work all things together for your good. He promises that when you pray, he hears and he answers prayer. And you trust him. Don't get angry with him. Don't get bitter. You keep trusting in the Lord, and salvation in all its richness, then, the saved life of love and joy and peace, that life which is joy unspeakable and full of glory, God will give to us as we keep trusting in him. We have the fullness of salvation. That's what I believe.
Amen. Well, a mutual friend of both of ours has a question for you, and he has seemingly, from what I remember, submitted questions to us nearly every time you've been on.
Yes.
I may be wrong on that, but his name is Pastor Mac Tomlinson of Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas.
Yes.
And Pastor Mac asks, is it true that Martin Luther actually went through with removing the book of James from his translation of the Bible?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure of that, Mark. That is, I know he called it an epistle of straw. And that was a problem with his doctrine of hermeneutics. You know, he asked the question, what is the main purpose, the main lesson of Scripture? What does it say? What does it talk about supremely? And he answered justification by faith. Now, if he had answered the kingdom of God, God reigns in grace and in love, then he could see then how the reign of grace in James helps people to live, guards their tongue, they don't have the greed of riches, they do works, they don't worry, they're not in despair, they are trusting in God, and when they're sick, they are prayerful people. The reign of grace over their lives shows itself. But because he said, no, that the heart of the message of the Bible is justification by faith, well, it's an enormously important one. But because he didn't find justification by faith as prominently in the letter of James as he called it, a right strawy letter. And it was a time when there was a measure of uncertainty about the canon of Scripture, although it had been so firmly established a thousand years before the time of Luther. It wasn't an apocryphal book. It was recognized that it had the authority of the brother of Jesus Christ, who had seen Christ rise from the dead and had that personal encounter, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15. So he had apostolic authority to write these five chapters. But he was an imperfect man, like all the men we admire. Like James tells us in the last but one verse about Elijah, he was only a man, he was a mere man. He says he was a man of like passions as ourselves, so we don't worship Martin Luther, do we? We thank God for him and thank God for the great insight and strength that he had. But he was wrong in dismissing the letter of James as he did.
Yes, I don't think he ever went through with actually throwing Jimmy in the stove, as the saying goes. We'll have to find that out for certain one of these days. But it reminds me of a sad reality. There are hyper-dispensationalist Christians who actually believe that the only books of the Bible that are applicable to us today are the epistles of Paul, and they say that James is actually at odds with Paul, and they will even say the Gospels are, and the teachings of Jesus are, because those were for the Old Covenant. And they have a wrong understanding that the Old Covenant was a righteousness achieved by obedience and good works. Anyway, so they're really wrong on every occasion. But just because the emphasis is different in James, it doesn't mean that he's teaching something else than Paul has taught. Am I right?
No, it was they are looking at the word to justify in a different way.
Right.
One is looking at it as Paul is looking at it to declare to be righteous, and then James is looking at it as vindication.
Justification before men, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, we have to go to our final break right now. By the way, thank you, Pastor Mac, and we love
you. Thank you, Mark.
And
you, my brother.
And we're going to our final break right now. If anybody else would like to join us, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right after these messages. We'll be right back after these messages with more of Jeff Thomas and the Epistle of James.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net, or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
This is Andrew Rappaport with Striving for Eternity Ministries. Are you cooped up at home? Are you just desiring to use your time wisely? Well, Justin Peters and I got together and realized that our calendars were cleared because of COVID-19. So we decided we would get together and do our Snatch Them from the Flames seminar, Home Edition. That's right, a free seminar, May 30th, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. we're going to give you a free seminar that you can take at home. We're going to cover the topics of the sufficiency of Scripture, interpreting Scripture, discerning false teachers, identifying false teachers, and then a Q&A. Get all the details at strivingforeternity.org, and there you can go to the online events to register before May 30th, and we'll see you there online in your home.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, you can call cvbbs.com at their toll-free number, 800-656-0231. 800-656-0231. Only Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. There is no voicemail, and nobody mans the phone line outside of those days and hours. 800-656-0231. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We are now back with our guest, Jeff Thomas, for our final segment of today's program. And this is your last opportunity to submit a question if you want to join us on the air. It's chrisarnzen at gmail.com, C-H-R-I-S-A-R-N-Z-E-N at gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence. And if you could, take a few minutes to really summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today regarding the theme that we're discussing today.
The theme is prayer, isn't it? I don't know of another part of the Bible where in six consecutive verses the word pray and prayer occur. Verse 13, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Verse 14, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray. Verse 15, the prayer of faith will save the sick. Verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. 17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't. Verse 18, and he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. How extraordinary. This is the emphasis. The emphasis is not then on some trick by which we can always guarantee we're going to be healed, but it is keep praying. Now, praying is the most difficult thing that anyone can do. So how can we pray more? Well, I would suggest a number of ways. Think of that great definition of God the Shorter Catechism gives. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, unchangeable, in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. Fill your mind with God. My God is omniscient. My God is omnipotent. My God is absolutely perfect, full of majesty and glory. And then go on with your praying. Don't let these thoughts stop you. I will pray. I'm going to pray. Though Satan tells me I'm hopeless in praying, and I'm worldly, and I don't pray as I should, I'm going to pray. And then the horrible thoughts that hum around your mind, and the awful imaginations that are there, tell the Lord, oh, I hate that world, Lord. It weakens my faith. They're a burden to me. They don't stop me being 1 degree less a child of my Heavenly Father. And the sense of sadness and frustration, they are great marks that I'm a real Christian. The world gets such thoughts and it thinks, oh, it's natural. But there's no escape, and he makes jokes about them. But the Christian knows they come from the pit. And labor to grow in and grace. Be filled with the Spirit. Seek help from the Lord. Fill me more and more. And always be praying that, and never be tired of asking for help from the Lord to pray. And try to shed some of your other worries. Your business, your exams, your family, your health, your church. You know, cast those cares upon the great, powerful, omnipotent arms of the Savior stretching out for you. That is the way that we learn to pray. house on the street called Straight. Behold, he is praying. That's the first mark, and it's the last. We will die with his name on our lips. Jesus, we will say. Sometimes we're so weak under the anesthetic, getting over the operation. All we can say is, Jesus. And that's all that we need to say. And he hears, and he answers us. And that prayer saves us eternally.
Amen. Don't you think that we sometimes are too hard on ourselves, perhaps, that the way we pray is too inarticulate? We sometimes are ashamed to bring our words before God because he is so holy and so righteous. Now, I understand, especially when we're in public, we should be trying to make sure our prayers are biblically informed, but at the same time, don't you think that we beat ourselves up a little bit too much when we approach the throne of grace?
Oh, I think we do. You know, my wife and I, we read from Table Talk alternate paragraphs, and then I pray, and we have themes that we never stop praying for our loved ones, for our churches, for the sick people, for our leaders. We are constantly, they just come from our hearts, our deepest concerns. I'm not there to teach my wife what an eloquent man I am. Oh, what a phony idea. I'm there to say things that are my meat and drink, my longing, my desire, my hopes, for God's blessing to come and rest upon us. And, you know, God knows how sincere my heart is. And I pray through Christ. That's how we go to God. We go, and Jesus de-sins our prayers. He takes away. I've never prayed a sinless prayer in my life. The Lord takes the sin away, and he gives it to his Father, and it's pleasing and is acceptable, and God hears and answers, because I'm praying in Jesus' name.
We have an anonymous listener who is touching on something that we both said here. The anonymous listener says, don't you think that it is not only annoying but sinful when in public prayer meetings there are those who take this as an opportunity to show off their eloquence? They very often pray very long, lengthy prayers with very long words, and they're really just trying to impress everybody in the room.
Well, I suppose that does occur. It doesn't occur in the church where I am attending at the present time, although some will pray longer. I remember one man, he could kill a prayer meeting by preaching at us through his praying. And that was, I would groan. And sometimes I would cut in. If he'd pause for a moment, I'd say, amen. Now, brother so-and-so, will you pray? So it depends on the person leading the prayer meeting that he doesn't allow such people to kill the prayer meeting.
Yeah, doesn't the Bible even prohibit those that prayer in such a way in public to be seen by men?
Quite so. And vain repetitions are the marks of heathens' prayers.
Amen. Let's see here. We have another anonymous listener who says, how do I know the Lord is hearing my prayers? I've been praying about certain things, very important things, for years, and he has never granted me the prayers that I have brought before him. How do I know that he has not turned his back on me, or that I'm lost as a result of his silence to me.
I wish you were my member and we could sit down and have a cup of coffee together and we could talk about this and we could reminisce about deep concerns. I have one grandson who's a rebel. Every day I pray that the Lord will touch his heart and that he will be, now that he's in his early 20s, that he'll be a repentant boy and that he'll love the Savior that his mother and father and grandparents love. And I'll never stop praying that prayer. Though I've prayed it many times, there's nothing in the Bible that tells me I should stop because I've prayed it. I'm taught by my Savior to pray, Our Father which art in heaven, thy will be done. That's his will, that people be saved. Thy kingdom come. I want the reign of Jesus Christ over this boy as his subject, as his vassal, as his slave. I want him to glorify God by serving the King of Kings. And so, you know, keep praying. Don't let the devil sow those thoughts in your mind that you have prayed this prayer, and so from now on you're going to stop praying it. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So you don't know what is being achieved by your prayers, and maybe it will be after your death that this prayer will be answered, but you're filling up the vessels of glory by your praying, and one day they will pour out in blessing upon favored men and women.
We have time for one more anonymous call, or not a call, email. The questioner says, do I need to be praying for my ex-spouse, who is not a believer, every single day? When I bring back to my memories the ways that I have been so painfully hurt and the way that my children have been hurt, bringing him up to my memory in prayer is like torture. Must I do this every single day?
Oh, I'm so sorry. How sad that is. Do you have to pray? Yes, you have to pray. Do you have to pray for all men, all kinds of men? Yes, we have to pray. Your former spouse, yes, though that person hurt you so much, did you hurt Christ with your guilt and your disobedience and defiance? Did you hurt him? Were nails driven through his hands and feet because of the sins that you did against him? Yes. Does he ever stop praying for you? He ever lives to whisper your worthless name. So whisper her name. Say, Lord, have mercy on her. And that's all that's needed. And pray that you'll have a sincere heart and that you won't be troubled. It's the devil that's troubling you with that prayer.
Well, we're out of time, and I want to make sure our listeners have your website again, alfredplacechurch.org.uk, alfredplacechurch.org.uk. Do you have another website that you were mentioning earlier?
No, that'll be fine. Anyone puts in Jeff Thomas sermons on Google, then they will take you straight away to that website, which is the Altar Place Baptist Church website.
Great. Well, thank you so much. And I look forward to your return tomorrow on another topic here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And I want to thank everybody who listened, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.